Markets are going to struggle for the next 11 months. Why should financial markets struggle over the next 11 months? Well, I think the reason is because US monetary policy is under strong political influence over the next 10, 11 months. Fed Chair Powell has been given a new mandate at the helm of the Fed by President Biden. But this mandate is very different from the one Mr. Powell received from President Trump a few years ago. Back then, it was just about letting the economy run, pump up, you know, the press, print money, and let the stock market rise, let the bonds rise, let the real estate prices rise, and of course, at the expense of inflation. And let's be frank, inflation was actually taking place. There was lots of inflation in the stock market. There was lots of inflation in bond prices. And there was surely lots of inflation in the real estate market. Now that the inflation, though, is hitting consumer prices, President Biden is suffering. Americans are suffering because they're paying higher prices, even fuel prices, and they are upset. Now, there are quite a few reasons why Americans are upset and they are actually punishing Democrat candidates at local elections. But one of the reasons they are upset and unhappy is because of the higher consumer prices they are paying. This is interesting because central banks are always very proud of their independence. But at the moment, in many different countries, central banks are no longer on the long leash, to put it that way. They are now on a shorter leash by the executive powers, by the governments that run those countries. And so after two, three decades of just running completely free and advancing their global monetary policy together with other central banks, Western central banks have to report at home and obey the respective governments and advance their national interests, no longer the global agenda, but a national interest. And that is a slightly different, maybe challenge, different situation, but also challenge for central banks. And this is now the Fed, probably one of the first major central banks that has to be, take a course correction here. After 12 years of printing money and creating inflation, the Fed now has been asked by the White House, by the executive power, to fight inflation so that consumer prices can be stabilized, neutralized, and to reduce the damage to the Democratic Party at the next midterm elections. President Biden wants to mitigate or minimize the damage that has already been done. I don't think the situation looks great for Democrats ahead of the midterm elections. But I think this is about damage control, and the Fed has to play its role in this. The Fed is then the first major central bank that is no longer producing inflation and fanning inflation, but actually really fighting it. And I don't think that markets have really paid attention to that. And I actually have been writing and speaking about this in recent months, in the last 2 months, because I warned that many people were saying, oh, Powell has been giving a new mandate at the Fed. Business as usual, nothing's changed. And I says, not at all. The new Powell has nothing to do with the old Powell. Powell number two has nothing to do with Powell number one of 4 years ago. This Mr. Powell has been giving a very different mandate, almost 180 degrees opposed to the one he received a few years ago by President Trump. This mandate is fight inflation. Now, how can a central bank go from printing money and producing inflation to doing the opposite? It's not possible. If the Fed really does turn around 180 degrees, it would lose any credibility. And Mr. Powell has made that very clear to President Biden. And he understands that there is some limitations to what you can do without losing all your credibility in markets. So this is actually now a gradual process But the process is very clear. It's deviating, moving away from just producing inflation, which is what European central banks are still trying to do. As a result, there are some consequences for investors. Number one, the risk for risk assets, or the volatility for risk assets, is probably going to rise beyond what investors have experienced in recent years. Number two, the dollar now will show a propensity to rally or to experience more upside than in recent years. So I heard a lot of experts and strategists over the last 1 year saying the dollar is finished and the dollar has to correct and go down. I think that they may be disappointed. The dollar now, but there are many, many factors driving the US dollar. But there is one powerful factor now, which is US executive policy in the White House and the Fed mandate, the new Fed mandate, and both are actually tilting towards a lower inflation. So there is actually the possibility that the US dollar may charge higher or may go higher, because the expectations of higher interest rates in the US is going to be a bit stronger than what people thought it would be the case. Now, why have markets reacted a bit, knee-jerk? First celebrating it and then maybe not so sure. Well, markets have not been irrational. Markets have been quite rational the last 2 days. And to some extent, you cannot blame them. What has the Fed chairman said? The Fed chairman said, we got a problem. Houston, we got a problem. Inflation is here and it's too high and it's not temporary. It's actually, to quite some extent, permanent. We got to deal with it. We got to fight inflation. But the next thing is, but we're not going to do anything about it. Something next month, then in February, and then in March. But, in the monetary field, like in the market economy now, 3 months is a long time, 3 months, 3 years is a long time. So if you tell people that you are worried about inflation, that it is a problem, but you're not doing anything today, markets are going to say, whoa. Well, let's see if I take you serious. I take note of this, but someone is talking here, but it's not really doing anything. So markets have seen these many times. The problem for Mr. Powell is that all his predecessors have talked, but they have done very little. They got away with that. They just needed to talk and announce something. Then the markets reacted, and then they said, well, now that the markets have reacted the way we wanted, we don't have to do anything. This has happened so many times. Markets have taken notice of that. And especially the last 12 years, the Fed has been talking about normalizing monetary policy and tapering, and they've never done it. I don't want to say they've been lying. Some people think that the Fed has been always lying. I think it's more the fact that the Fed knows the markets, investors are a little bit like sheep. You can lie to them 25 times, they will buy, they will take what you give them at face value 25 times because they want the markets to go up. It's not that the Fed is evil or is lying, and it's also not that the markets are stupid. The fact is they're just sitting in the same boat and they have a massive, huge conflict of interest. For the last 12 years, central bank and investors are sitting in exactly the same boat, and this is why the Fed has investors in its grip. The Fed only has to signal something. They don't have to do anything. They just have to announce it or say it, and the markets just go with it. And then the Fed probably will say, well, you know what? Things have changed. We won't do anything. So what the market is now playing, many investors are thinking, is that, well, the Fed is talking tough, a bit hawkish what they said 2 days ago. But you know what? It's the same old story, right? He hasn't done anything, really. Not really. He just said that he may do something next year. So, next year is a long time away. What can happen in the meantime? Maybe a new variant will come from COVID, or maybe the the Russians will do something in the Middle East, and the Fed will have a new excuse not to do anything. So the markets have seen this not just 10 times, but 20, 30, 40 times in the last two decades from the Fed, especially the last 10, 12 years. So they have all the reasons to think that nothing's going to happen. And this is the problem, because I think this time is different. This time, markets and investors are underestimating the political influence, the influence of the political process on monetary policy. They are not counting on it, and they, I think, they're missing it. So markets are going to get a jolt, quite a shock over the next 11 months. Over the next 11 months, the Fed has to help President Biden mitigate the risk of the Republicans taking the House and the Senate. They have to mitigate the risk. The name of the game is damage control, and that means they have to fight inflation to some extent. And that means there is a possibility, not necessarily higher interest rates, but behavior and announcements that will be conducive with expectations of higher interest rates or a higher US dollar. You know, it can be both. And if we have these kind of things building up, markets may react negatively. There will be higher volatility for risk assets like stocks, and there could be also some, every now and then, some breakout of the US dollar on the upside. This is something that I think not many investors are expecting. This could have an impact on the bond market, but also on emerging markets and markets also in Europe. I think this is going to be quite interesting. The next 10, 11 months, I think, could be difficult for equity investors in particular. Let's watch. Let's see how the next coming weeks and months evolve or unfold. Quite a few things could happen on the political, especially geopolitical front, and then the whole landscape could be different. And if that's the case, the Fed may have to basically cancel all this plan about fighting inflation, because something else could come up. But in the absence of that, I think there is a possibility that the Fed may have to disappoint investors over the next 10 to 11 months. It is politics, people. The political process rules. The Fed is on a short leash, and investors, they have not paid attention to it yet. Thank you for your kind attention. This was again Christian Takushi, an independent macroeconomist and geopolitical strategist at geopoliticalresearch.com in Switzerland. Thank you.